Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, now that monsoon season appears to be over, let's talk to the New York City Parks Commissioner, Adrian Benepe, about going outside. We usually do this every spring, a combination of things to do in the parks that you may not have known about and some news and issues under the Parks Department's purview. Today we'll range going clockwise around the region from the tree killer on the loose in Inwood Hill Park to the youth sports leagues displaced from near Yankee Stadium, to stimulus money coming to the shovel-ready Coney Island Boardwalk, to the 40th Woodstock anniversary possibly being held in Prospect Park this summer, to the New York Philharmonic outdoors on Staten Island. And if you have a question or a comment for Parks Commissioner Adrian Benepe, call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. Well, Commissioner, did you think it would ever stop raining?
Well, it's hard to believe. It's been this really cool spring, which is great for the flowers, not so great for sunbathing. It's really hard to believe that in 12 days, the beach is open.
Any effects of all those rain days on specific parks, whether it's flowers in bloom, you know, in an especially beautiful way somewhere, or damage to infrastructure or whatever?
No bad effects. We never had any real flooding, a little local puddling and things like that. A cool spring is actually really great for flowers. They bloom slowly. They last forever. Then we had that heat wave blast for that weekend, and everything bloomed at once, and we had the crab apples done in about 2 or 3 days, which I sort of regretted. But, you know, there's in the Parks Department, there's sort of a dark side where you say rainy weekends are good because we don't have to pick up as much litter on Monday.
That's from the worker's perspective, not the user's perspective. No. My son's high school baseball league, which plays mostly on North Meadow, has played 5 games this season and had 11 postponed so far.
Well, it's funny. You know, those are beautiful grass fields there. It's one of the disadvantages of a grass field is that if it's really wet, you can't play in it, which is why the synthetic turf is a good alternative because it drains right away and you can't damage it even if you plant it when it's wet.
But I guess there are different standards in different parks because I noticed that there were games rained out on Saturday in Central Park, but they were playing up in Prospect Park when I was up there later in the day. Right. I don't mean Prospect. I mean Van Cortlandt Park when I was up there later in the day.
Yeah, the Central Park grass is really tender grass that if you play in it in cleats and it's wet, it tends to go bad real fast.
So what are you most excited about coming to the parks this summer that might be new for 2009?
Well, you know, I think we're seeing a lot of people staying in the parks on the weekends. You know, there's that whole cliche about staycations, people not traveling to country homes or on big vacations. And definitely the parks are packed. They're packed when the weather's bad. They're packed when the weather's good. And we're expecting just a lot more people looking to do things that are free or cheap. And we've got all of those things ready.
It's another economic indicator, common or uncommon. Let's see. Prospect Park, Woodstock, what is that about?
Well, Prospect Park is really a great park. The Long Meadow is much bigger than the Great Lawn in Central Park. It could probably hold about 150,000 people. We've been talking with some of the people involved with Woodstock. They're looking to do a Woodstock 40th anniversary concert. It's just a question of their being able to raise the money. We'd love to do it. We had a great big Superstars of Opera concert last year in Prospect Park. We think it's probably the best park that we have for large crowds. And so we're looking for that, and who knows, perhaps some other concert ideas.
3 days of love, peace, and music.
Well, maybe 1 day of love, peace, and music. Foreshortened. We'll see what kinds of sponsors they get.
How many people can that space in Prospect Park accommodate?
We think, you know, it's the Long Meadow is almost a mile long. It's huge, and it's got rolling hills. You could probably put 150,000 or 200,000 people easily into that space.
It's interesting. One of the, flashpoints that I'm sure you remember came up around the Republican convention in 2004 was people who wanted to use the Great Lawn for political demonstrations, and the Parks Department's feeling, the city's feeling, that that can't accommodate that many people without destroying the lawn, 100,000 people that it, you know, may have been if it took place there. Any thought of having Prospect Park's Long Meadow used for anything like that? I don't know if protest groups would even want to use it for that because it's so far away from Manhattan.
Well, as with all those things, we made all kinds of alternate areas available. Flushing Meadows Park can hold lots of people. It's a big open festival grounds. We offered Prospect Park. people tend to just become a little bit myopic about Central Park. If it didn't happen in Central Park, it didn't happen. But we've got lots of lovely parks all over. I was thinking about your last segment about people on moving to new neighborhoods and saying, I don't have a backyard. Well, there's 29,000 acres of backyards in the city parks.
People think about the lawns, the trees. One of the reasons that I like to have you on in the spring is to remind people of some of the other activities, even organized activities, that are available in New York City that are very nature-oriented that people don't know that much about. So just looking at your own Spring in the Parks page on your website, you have ranger programs, all kinds of ranger programs that grown-ups and kids alike can take part in, organized activities.
Well, I'm very partial to the Rangers. It's how I started 30 years ago this month as my first job in the Parks Department. But the Rangers offer all kinds of free activities for kids. We give thousands of school kids every year come and learn about nature in parks. And then there's great adult programs. We have canoeing programs. There's even family camping.
You can go camping in New York City.
You can go camping with your kids in New York City in Alley Pond Park.
And
also, of course, in Alley Pond Park, we have the adventure course, which is this high ropes challenge course, which is available for groups and then for families and for drop-ins on the weekends.
And you can go canoeing in New York City, did you say?
Canoeing. We have great canoeing programs offered by the park rangers. Also on the Bronx River, they have canoeing programs. And then kayaking. We're working on something called the water trails, connecting waterfront parks with trails and having places for people to put in kayaks and take out kayaks. You know, New York City has become sort of like an X Games place. We have skate parks, we have off-road bicycling, we have the adventure course, we have kayaking, even swimming in the Hudson River at races. So we just think people should just get outdoors and enjoy the great parks we have here.
And you mentioned the water trail. I was reading about that. People think about the improvements in the bike trail system that have taken place in New York. But the New York City Water Trail connects 160 square miles of rivers, bays, creeks, inlets, and the ocean in the five boroughs, and suitable for kayaks, canoes, and open water rowing craft in various areas. So can people actually go, you call this a trail, can people actually go on a trail? Can you do a five borough water trail?
You could if you had enough time. We have maps for it, and there's signage at the various places. There are wonderful community-based organizations like the Gowanus Dredgers and the Red House Rowers, and there are even community boathouses in Hudson River Park where you can go. If you don't have a kayak, you can go there and use one of their kayaks for free. So this is a really burgeoning thing with people wanting to get out on the water, and we're trying to encourage it as much as possible.
All right. Well, let's take some phone calls, and we'll talk about some of these other things that I mentioned earlier as we go. 212-433-WNYC for New York City Parks Commissioner Adrian Benepe, 212-433-9692, or post a comment or a question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Jules in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jules.
Hello, good morning. I'm wondering if the commissioner could talk a little bit about the recreation centers. They're kind of an undervalued asset in the city. And with respect to that, the Dapolito Center in Manhattan has had a chronic problem with a roof leak. I'm wondering if he's aware when that's going to be repaired.
Well, the rec centers, thank you for mentioning that. That's a great value because for $75, you can get a year membership as an adult, $10 if you're 55 or over, or free as a kid. And there are 35 rec centers around the city. Some of them have pools, some don't. A great new one just opened in Queens. But as to the Dapolito
Center. Let me just linger on that for a second, because this is another thing really worth mentioning. For people who want to belong to fitness centers of various types, maybe you can't afford the gym right now, there are these rec centers, as you said, $10 a year?
If you're 55 or over.
Okay, if you're 50. If you're for
an adult who's younger than that, it's $75 a year if you want to have the centers that use pools. Otherwise, it's $50 a year.
Right.
And for kids up to 18, it's free.
And they have gym equipment. A friend of mine was telling me who goes to one in Lower Manhattan, you know, they have treadmills and this kind of thing.
All kinds of fitness equipment, fitness classes, aerobic stuff, gyms. Some of them have swimming pools. We've just opened two brand new places out in Flushing, Queens. Absolutely state-of-the-art, Olympic-sized swimming pool and a big indoor place. At Dapolito, we've had this chronic roof leak above the track. Last time I was there touring, which was about a month ago, they showed it to me and said it was fixed. Now, that was something that was leaking for about two decades. I kind of doubted that it was actually fixed. They swore it was, but I'm going to have to take a look at that and see if that roof leak has been fixed or if there's another roof leak which has been sprung up. But we did a lot of work on that one, and I'll tell you this. We'll keep at it until it's fixed. It's an old building. Old buildings leak, but I had understood that to be fixed, but we'll make sure that it is.
Robert in Queens has a question about going on the water in New York City. Hi, Robert.
Hi, I do, but may I just quickly follow up on what Commissioner just said and ask how you find out where these rec rooms are?
There, we have a great website. You can go, it's www.nyc.gov/parks or call 311 and you can find out how to register. You can go register for a membership at any of the rec centers.
Great. Glad to know there are a couple in Flushing. Question, because you mentioned canoeing, I think, and maybe something else similar, but is there paddle boating anywhere in the city, which is what I love to do?
There are,
paddling.
Yes, there's paddle boating in Prospect Park. At the Prospect Park, there was a paddle boat concession. I think there's also, we have a paddle boat concession in Meadow Lake in Flushing Meadows Park. So those are two that I know of. We're hoping maybe to bring some back on the restored, perhaps bring some back on the restored Indian Lake in Crotona Park. But those are, there are two that I know of, and we'll see if there might be some others.
All right, Robert in Queens, Zoe in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi, Zoe.
Hi. I wonder, is there any research or plan to humanely control the population of Canada geese, which are in the parks and other parts of the city, as opposed to inhumane solutions?
You're talking about the threat to airplanes or something else?
No, well, I wasn't talking about that. No, just Canada geese make a mess where they walk, and so they're not very popular, and the population needs to be controlled, but that takes research, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to do it, and I wonder if anything's going on in that area.
And we know how some of those lawns and fields wind up in our parks Canada geese are flocking there.
There are a number of ways to do it humanely. One is to make sure that the eggs don't hatch. You don't hurt the adult geese, but you make sure the eggs don't hatch by coating them with oil or addling them. That's very labor-intensive. In Central Park, they've tried out something called the geese police, where they have these border collies who come and sort of stalk the geese without actually harming them, and the geese leave after a while, but you're simply moving them on to another park. It is an issue with the airplanes, and there's a coordinated effort being done by the city to see how to limit the geese population near airports, and that's going on. We're part of a task force on that. But, you know, the geese are extremely resourceful creatures. They're part of our ecosystem. They are attracted to the very things that they're attracted to, open lawns. One of the ways we can decrease their population is by allowing to have a more naturalistic landscape with tall meadow grasses. They like open lawns. They don't like tall meadow grasses.
Zoe, thank you for your call. While we're in the Bronx, there was a big article in the New York Times the other day, and we get calls from people who live in the Yankee Stadium area who are not at all happy about how the development of the new parks is going there to replace the old parks that the new Yankee Stadium took over the land of. The Times article focused on a particular high school baseball team that has to play no home games because there's no place in the Bronx for it to play. There isn't a field big enough there right now. Burden on those families to go to Staten Island was the example that they used. To play a home game as far in the city as you could possibly get from their South Bronx location. Give us an update on that.
Well, we're building a lot of new parks to replace the parks that were taken away to construct Yankee Stadium. We did build two new fields in the Bronx that have been open for a year now. We were able to accommodate that particular high school for all the fields it asked for. I don't know why they decided to play home game in Staten Island. We offered them all the fields they needed right there in the Bronx. There's a little bit of dislocation right now, but when it's done, there will be spectacular new fields, including on the footprint of the old Yankee Stadium. There will be three natural grass baseball fields played in this sort of hallowed space.
And so that structure is going to come down?
The whole old Yankee Stadium is being torn down as we speak. There will be brand new grass ball fields in the footprint of the old Yankee Stadium. You know what's going on now in the Bronx? Good news, bad news. Good news is we have lots and lots of money to build a lot of new fields. The bad news is while we build the new fields, you can't play in them. So we're trying to work with people. We hope they're patient. And then eventually we'll have lots and lots of fields.
And you can guarantee that all the fields originally planned as replacement fields are going to get built, because I know there have been major cost overruns or re-estimates of what it's actually going to cost from the original that have gone way upward, and the Yankees aren't contributing that much money.
Well, the city has committed to building these replacement parks. The construction is going on. One of the new replacement fields is being opened, a new soccer field with a track around it. We're committed to. We've already built two new fields. A beautiful new waterfront park is being built, the first waterfront park on the Bronx side of the Harlem River. So we're absolutely going to keep that. The budget was not cut. It was enhanced. And it's a promise we're going to keep.
As the cost goes up, are the Yankees contributing more money or only the taxpayers?
The city always made the commitment to build the parks. The Yankees had to take on all the cost overruns for the stadium. And that was the deal in both City Field and Yankee Stadium, that the teams would build the stadia, unlike in other cities where the cities put a lot of money into the stadia, and that the city would provide some infrastructure work around them, whether it's parking lots or highway access ramps. And so far, that's been the deal.
Patrick in Manhattan wants to ask about the Dyckman Street Marina. Patrick.
Hi. It used to be an incredibly cool, funky marina. Then it turned into a place of considerable mystery. And then with a sort of interesting restaurant or whatever you want to call it next to it. And now the place is razed. What's going to happen?
For those of you who don't know, this is Dyckman Street, which is the equivalent of 200th Street in Upper Manhattan, a marina on the Hudson River.
Yeah, we have a new operator ready to go to rebuild the marina and add the restaurant back. Unfortunately, the previous operator had a side business dealing drugs, which was not conducive to being a law-abiding operator. The new operator, as with a lot of things, had the cash flow issues with the economy getting started, but we believe everything's going to go. We think it's a good team that's going to go in there. I think just as much as you do, we want to see that new marina open up.
All right, Patrick, thank you. And while we're all the way up there at 200th Street, Inwood Hill Park, probably the only place in Manhattan where you can hike through the woods, up switchbacks and everything, a real wooded area of extreme northwestern Manhattan. But somebody's been on the loose for some unknown reason, actually killing some of the trees in the woods in Inwood Hill Park.
It's a bizarre thing. We've had this serial tree killer. Fortunately, this person, whoever it is, hasn't cut down any big trees. They're mostly small trees. But there's no rhyme or reason. Some of them are native trees. Some of them are non-native. Unfortunately, a number of them are trees that we deliberately planted as part of our natural resources group's work to enhance the forest and bring back the native forests. But we've posted a reward. We've got neighborhood volunteers out looking for the people, the police. And the good news is, since that episode a few months ago, there have been no more tree killings.
Do you know how they did it? Because somebody was talking to me who lives right there on Indian Road, which is the road that goes along Inwood Hill Park. And he was saying, you know, I never heard any buzzsaws or anything like that. And if you're going to take down a tree, you would need that kind of a tool, and it would make a heck of a lot of noise.
Well, they're actually fairly small trees. They range in a size from a few inches wide to no more than about 10 inches wide. So an axe or a sharp machete could do this in a couple of minutes. And when you're deep into that park, no one's going to hear what's going on a few blocks away. So we think they're doing it under the cover of darkness. And it's probably a pretty deranged individual.
All right. How about Carol in Brooklyn in Williamsburg? You're on WNYC.
Williamsburg, yeah. And we have this new, we have McCarran Park out here, but we also have this new park on the river that is a state park. And it's open certain hours during the day, and there are guards there. And I have a dog, and I kind of resent the fact that my tax dollars go to pay to have these guards there and this huge fence and this new park, but I'm not allowed to take my dog into the park because it's a state park.
Under city purview, Commissioner?
I don't think so. It says there's a big sign that says it's a state park, and there's always a couple of guards hanging out there making sure, you know, that people don't ride their bikes in there or take their dogs into the park. And it's just, right. I don't know, it's just strange that there's this state park in the middle of the city that certain people are not allowed to use.
And, of course, there's the eternal balancing act between dog owners and the freedom they want for their dogs, and some non-dog owners who feel that there's a threat in that in one way or another. So, Commissioner, are you familiar with this particular?
I do know the park. It's somewhat of an undeveloped park, which the state is developing into park. And I'm glad that it's opened. You know, it's going to be the site where the concerts that were taking place in McCarran Pool will be moving to that park, which is great news, because the other good news is McCarran Pool is going to be restored beginning this summer. Construction will start this summer. But a little bit longer term, we are going to be adding some more parks along the Brooklyn waterfront, the old WNYC transmitter site. is being turned into a park. The designs are being finished this year. We hope construction will start by the winter. That will be a beautiful new waterfront park, not too far from this other area. And maybe what I'll do is, if I have a chance, I'll talk to our good friends in the state parks who really do a good job. You know, this is one of the rules that they have, and it's pretty hard to bend the rules once you have them in place. But we do have lots of parks in Greenpoint, Williamsburg. We're going to be adding a lot of parks and dog runs in places where people can bring the dogs. We in the Parks Department like dogs, even though sometimes we take some grief for that.
Despite the economy, you're going to have music in the park, as past years.
Oh, it's
New
great.
York Philharmonic in each borough, correct?
Philharmonic. The Metropolitan Opera is going to be going to some very different parks this year. Not full orchestra productions, but small solo recitals going into parks in inner-city neighborhoods, which will be fantastic. The summer stage, of course, in Central Park, the City Parks Foundation does, is great. River to River Festival, music in Hudson River Park and Riverside Park South. The great thing about New York in the summer is not, is there something free or low cost to do, but which of the dozen things going on today should I choose among? All kinds of great free music. One little thing I was thinking about, you know, with the fiscal problems we're having is how can people help? And there's a very simple thing. We spend half our time picking up litter that people simply drop when they could walk five steps to a litter basket. If everybody just walked to a litter basket or picked up a piece of litter, that would help enormously in our job, and maybe even a better bottle bill to include sports drinks. So if I'd love to hear your listeners' ideas about how we could change behavior and get people to not litter, because that would solve 50% of our problem.
And plant trees. Are you involved with this Million Trees NYC?
Absolutely. This is one of the cornerstones of Mayor Bloomberg's Plan NYC, which is a sustainability initiative to have the city grow greener and healthier by the year 2030. And the Million Trees part of it is going gangbusters. We've already planted 200,000 trees, in fact, 202,000 trees since Mayor Bloomberg announced it in October of 2007. And all over the place, Bette Midler's group, New York Restoration Projects, are a big partner, and we've had all kinds of volunteers. A couple of weeks ago, we had a few thousand volunteers planted 20,000 trees in a single day. So it's, you know, trees do wonderful things. They clean the air, they process pollution, they lower the temperature, they raise property values. So that's one of the really effective programs.
We're just about out of time. I want to ask how people can, A, get more information about events taking place in the park and the water trail and ranger hikes and everything else, but also how people can ask you questions about the particular things in their park. There are so many specific questions that we don't have time for. People calling to ask, for example, about the bathroom in the south end of East River Park, and somebody else about why a certain pool is only available to children and not to seniors. People are very passionate about their neighborhood parks, and obviously we could barely scratch the surface with all the questions
people had. Love their parks in New York more than any other city, which makes this a great and often challenging job. We have a really good website, www.nyc.gov/parks. It has all of the events on it. It links to all the groups that do events, like the City Parks Foundation. It has all the information about how to get fit and
want a human being to talk to about their park, 10 seconds left.
If you have, you can always call 311 with a complaint. We do respond to all the emails that people send us, either through our website or through 311. It may take a while, but we do get back to everybody. You can always call my office, and somebody will get back to you, 360-1305, 212.
360-1305.
1305.
New York City Parks Commissioner Adrian Benepe, thanks a lot.